Hello and welcome to Not a Safe Space. This is Sabrina.
And Tabby.
Hey girl, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
Doing well. It's the weekend. Yay! Well, it's Monday for everybody else, but we are going into the weekend. Are you excited?
I'm very excited, and it's just in time for episode 38.
That's right. Any big plans for the weekend?
Other than continuing to build my aquaponics system, and Dion is on his way right now to go get our tilapia, so that's exciting. So we can finally put the plants in the beds and some start growing some shit.
How many tilapia will you start off with?
I have no idea. They're baby ones, so I'm hoping maybe 30 or so.
Oh, wow. That's a lot, right?
Yeah.
Because tilapia can get pretty big.
Exactly. Which we're hoping, because we're going to eat them.
Yeah. How big is the tank?
I don't know. It's in the picture that I put on Facebook. I don't know how big it is.
That's crazy. That's a lot of fucking fish, man.
Yes, but you got to remember, I'm getting them right now, and they're like this big. They're fingerlings, so... Which, I don't understand. Why do they call them fingerlings? It's nothing to do with the finger. They're baby fish.
I don't know. They do the same thing with potatoes. They call them fingerling potatoes.
I thought that's because they were long.
I thought so, too. Like, the size of a finger. So maybe these tilapias are the size of a finger?
Maybe. We're going to find out, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, weird. What about when's your first plant going in?
Well, that depends on when we can get the water levels up and running. They have to have the nutrients going through. Otherwise, they're just going to be sitting in a puddle of water and it's not going to work.
Right. Okay.
So, okay. But, and then I do have two shout outs for today. Today is my sister's birthday.
Ooh,
and yay!
Happy birthday. What's your sister's name?
Tamara.
Happy birthday, Tamara.
So we're not going to say how old she is, but she is 8 years older than me, so we're not going to say how old I am either.
All right, so do the math.
Yeah, exactly. And then also today is my mom and Pam's anniversary.
How long have they been together?
I want to say 30-some years.
Amazing.
It's crazy, right?
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the secret to their success?
Communication.
Mm-hmm.
Communication and just talking and talking and talking.
They're opposites, right? Wouldn't you say, personality-wise?
Yes, they're very opposites.
What do you think, as an outsider looking in, for somebody looking for marriage advice, how do you think that they handle being opposites and working together?
They both had to learn to give a little bit. So, for example, my mom can be very emotional, and then Pam is very logical. So mom kind of had to learn to not let her emotions override, and Pam had to learn to kind of bring down the walls a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and of course it took time.
So that's surprising to hear. Who is more intimidating in your mind, your mother or Pam? And how do you think other people perceive them?
I don't know. I don't see either one of them as intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also the daughter, right?
Right.
So it's kind of hard. Who would you think out of the two is intimidating?
Your mom. So I'm surprised to hear that she's more emotional and Pam is the opposite of that, because Pam kind of walks around with a smile on her face.
Uh-huh.
So it makes you feel really warm and inviting, and like she's super, super friendly and approachable, where your mom is more held together. She's more like me in the part where you're going to have to, if you're going to talk to her, you're going to have to go and talk to her. She's not going to seek you out to go and talk to you. Like, you know, like she'll be there and she'll talk to you, but she's not going to seek out people. And so I find that intimidating of, ooh, well, maybe she doesn't want to talk to me. And then once I did talk to her, super, super friendly. But perception being, I find your mom more intimidating than Pam just because she doesn't walk around with a smile on her face, which is what I hear all the time.
Well, which is interesting because I guess I have a different perception because you've only known her for what, the last 6 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And barely, so, like just small touch points. Yeah.
Right. So, and, but see, there was a time I remember my mom, the social light of the party. Always like talking to everybody, going around, you know, and that's, you know, dwindled down as she's gotten older.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Pam does always have a smile on her face, but when you sit down and you talk about problems with Pam, Pam's the one that's going to go, okay, well, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. We need to figure a logic solution. There's no emotion. She sits down and it's step A, B, C, D. And that's, so maybe that's why I get the more logical side of it from her.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I've never felt that she was cold or unwelcoming. Do you?
Yeah. No, I just think that when, like, if you put Jen and I next to each other, that I think that both the personalities are the same. Like, Jen to me is Pam, and mm-hmm. I would be more Carolyn. I would be your mom. Just because I'm not walking around, even from at your farm. Like, if we imagine a party from your house to the pool house, I'm not walking with a big smile on my face. So if somebody walks past me, I might do a head nod and keep going, where Jen will, hi, how are you? Oh, good. And keep walking. Right?
Right.
So I imagine Carolyn to be more like me, where it's like a little head nod and then Pam to have a big smile on her face.
Okay. I see.
Yeah. Where it's same thing. Like, well, I don't know. Nate and I aren't really the same in there. Both of us are kind of introverted at some points.
Right.
Not as friendly, just as a walk by.
Yeah, I can see that. Or like me and Dion, I'd be the more bubbly one, mm-hmm. and he's the more head nod kind of guy.
Right, yeah. I also, like, being married into a family that most of Nate's brothers and sisters have all been married for 40, 30 some years, right? We've been together 16 years, and we're still the youngest couple besides my niece. So I admire people that can stay married and together for 30 some years, that it's work.
It is work. It's hard work.
Right. And if you think about also just the individual struggles for two women, right?
Yes.
Where 30 years ago, people weren't Facebook and marching pride parades in their honor, right? That 20 years of that was most people thinking that they were sinning.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
So, you know, to be able to commit to one person during all of that as well,
mm-hmm.
it's amazing. So, congratulations to them. That's awesome. What a great example for their children, for you, for us, for all of us. You know, it's a great example.
Right. And and you have to imagine Pam, I think they're about 12 years apart as well.
Okay,
Pam's
yeah.
Pam's the younger. And she and my mom started dating when I was 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how long it's been. And Pam was basically fresh out of college. I think she was like 27, 28
nice.
When they first met.
Carolyn, getting herself a college girl.
Pretty
yes.
much, right?
I love your mom.
And then, so Pam didn't necessarily want children at that time, and then she met my mother, who had two children.
Right.
So her summers were dealing with a moody 16-year-old, my sister, and an annoying, bubbly, hey, let's do this, and da da da, 8-year-old.
Right.
So that was a lot for her to take on.
Do you remember her coming in as your stepmom at 8 years old?
Oh, no. She wasn't a stepmom at that point.
She wasn't. So, but do you remember that transition to a stepmom, and how did you take that?
I actually made the transition for her.
Okay.
So, pretty much by the time I was about, I'd say 14, 15 is pretty much when I started considering her my stepmom.
Okay.
So, you know, me growing up, I understood, oh, this is mom's friend, and I subconsciously kind of knew what that was.
Mm-hmm.
But at 8, I had not learned about, and believe it or not, I had not learned about gays.
Yeah, okay.
So, And it wasn't until I realized in eighth grade that my entire family was gay.
Okay.
And then I was
because until then they were mom's friends and mom's best friends and
your aunts and all of these code names and all of this. We're all family. There was none of that being pushed out.
Right.
So, but yeah, no. So it was about 15, 16. I was like, yeah, you're my stepmom. That's it. I love you.
Yeah. That reminds me, and I'm not going to say her name, but there was this girl I went to high school with that she didn't know her fucking mom was gay. She didn't know it. And now that I'm an adult, I can tell you that my friends and I were assholes because we made fun of her all the time because we were like, hey, your mom's fucking gay.
Right.
You and your mom's best friend. And like, we were jerks about it. And to think that one, that she probably honestly did not know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unsafe to know.
It was very unsafe.
And it was unsafe for us to be making fun of it and talking about it in the way we were. But we were honestly just fucking clueless back then.
Right, because you didn't understand the ramifications.
Right, and honestly, back then, I could never imagine, like, how do you not fucking know? Be like, your mom is gay, like, gay. And I remember her, like, standing on the street, jumping up and down, going, my mom is not gay. And we were in high school, and I'm like,
wow.
Okay, all right. And now, like, hearing it just makes me feel like a dickhead.
Right. My mom, Dee, told me after I had graduated, you know, middle school and into high school, and that's mm-hmm. when she came out to me and told me, and I was like, oh. I was like, well, then is mom gay? And then, of course, everybody asked, she said, you have to ask them. Because it was not, you don't out somebody.
Right.
Right? So I was like, okay. And then she told me my Aunt Mickey was. And the only reason she said that was because Aunt Mickey had passed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
did you cry when she told you?
You know, actually, I was mad at her, and not for the reason you think.
Mm-hmm.
I was mad at her for lying to me.
Okay. That makes sense, right? Because you feel stupid in some way. Just the same way kids feel stupid when they find out they've been lied about Santa and everything, right? Obviously, a bigger scenario, but I can see that. You're mad for being lied and tricked. And
right. Not that I cared that she was gay. I was like, oh, okay, that's great. You know, and it's funny because I look back and I go, how did I not know?
Right.
No men were around. Right. I mean, now, mind you, we had a cover story for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember one time as a kid, I went snooping in a closet and found pictures, and there were female strippers. It was a party that my mom had gone to with my family there, and there was a female stripper, and it still didn't dawn on me that my parents are, my whole family's lesbians.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said that you didn't care if she was gay. I would think that there's some kids that when they do find out, especially back then, right, where it wasn't fully accepted, I think I probably would have cried and thought, like, well, what does that mean for me? I mean, if my friends find out, are they going to, I mean, everybody cares at that point what everybody thinks of them, right? So are my friends going to find out? Are they going to make fun of me? Are they going to want to come over here? Are they, am I going to be gay? If you're gay, does that make me gay? There's so many questions for a child when they do kind of find out like that, I think.
Right. And, you know, I had a lot of those questions, you know, and, you know, mom's talked me through it and all that good stuff. And I was very fortunate to, Dee also made it where in our house, you did not talk about shit that went on in our house outside, not even to your friends. You just didn't do it, right?
Right.
And I remember one day I had the courage, and I went and I told one of my friends, or a few of the friends I was close with, that, you know, my mom's gay. And they looked at me and go, well, yeah, you didn't know? And like, no, like, okay. They're like, we don't care.
Right.
I was like, okay. So I felt better. I was like, because I was expecting this huge lashback.
Yeah.
And luckily, I did not have to go through that. And mm-hmm. I think that part of that was D in the way she set things up.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Well, happy anniversary to them. And thanks for sharing yes. that part of it, Tabby, because I know that's, you know, it's not easy. And I think that that's, it's so, your story is so fucking unique and it's so different, right? Especially if you right. think about how kids are being raised now. I always think about you and then my nieces and right. how different their experience is going to be for their childhood and being raised by two lesbian moms.
Yeah, it is. Like, we've had conversations, you know, you've had experiences with your dad and stuff where I've never had an experience like that mm-hmm. because my upbringing was completely different. You know, everyone's like, oh, yeah, that's my uncle's cousin's second, third wife. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, how does that? I was like, just give me the lesbian couples and I can figure it out from there. But there's no lesbian couples in your family tree.
Right. And there's also, you know, this part of it where you and I talk about sometimes your ability to share in our podcast. And it makes more sense to me that if you're raised to not talk about your personal life, that it's mm-hmm. harder to peel back those layers even as you get older. Because no matter what, everything that happened to us as children, you know, it plays into who we are now. And if we right. haven't undone it in somehow, then it just becomes part of your personality. So that makes sense why you're not, you don't have diarrhea of the mouth the way that I do.
Right. Yep. Nope. Because
yeah.
It has consequences. And for me, when I was younger, those consequences could potentially have been life-threatening.
Right. Yeah. I get that. Well, this is a weird transition then, if I'm going to talk about my double date and the gay porn star.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, from one gay to the next.
There we go.
I accidentally went on a double date this week, apparently.
Okay. How does one accidentally go on a double date? I mean, like, are we talking standard, traditional double date? You both show up and pick up the girls together or in the same car?
Yes.
Okay, how? How did this happen? There's no way that's an accident.
Especially being a married woman, how do you accidentally find yourself on a double date? Well, you don't until your husband informs you that you went on a double date. So,
you didn't know you were going on a double date?
I didn't know. Listen, this is what happened. So,
wait, this sounds like me not knowing my moms were gay.
Right. Right. So, but you were 8 and I'm 39. So right, there's no excuse for me. On Wednesday, our mutual friend Jen said she was going to the beach and, asked if I was doing anything and my afternoon had freed up. And so I was like, hey, I'll go to the beach with you. And she said, she was going with this guy that she's seeing and one of his friends. So I didn't even think anything of it. Nate had left to go roller skating and wasn't going to be back in a while. And I figured normally when he gets done ice skating, he calls me right away. So I was like, well, when he calls, I'll tell him I've left the house.
Right.
Well, he never called me. So they pull up. Ethan has a question for Miss Jen, and I said, hey, Miss Jen's out front. Just go and talk to her. So Ethan walks out, sees two guys in a truck, and then Jen in the back. And then Ethan comes in and makes some weird statement to me, like, I didn't know she was with anybody. Who are those people? And I was like, I don't know. It's just some guy she's dating and a friend. Like, in my mind, they're basically our Uber drivers to get us on the beach.
Okay.
Right? Like, I could care less. All I know is I'm going to the beach. So I get in the car and Jen and I are in the back seat. The guys are in the front seat. We stop and get some monsters and drinks. And we got our coolers and our beach chairs. So we're on our way. And of course, I'm asking new person, the new friend. I could care less about the one she's dating because I've already met him. But this new guy, okay. I got lots of questions for you. I got to know, How long are you going to be in town? Blah, 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 blah. He lets it out right away that his brother is a gay porn star.
Well, all right then.
His identical twin brother is a gay porn star, but he's not gay.
But he's not gay.
He's not gay. And he was like, I don't know how many dicks you could suck until you are gay, but my brother said he's not gay.
Porn star's not gay. Oh, right. The gay porn star is not gay.
Is not gay.
And neither is the brother, the guy you're talking
to. Neither of them.
So you're talking to straight boys, but one's a gay
straight
porn star.
Right. Right. I'm speaking to a straight man who has an identical twin who is a gay but not gay porn star.
How is that possible?
I don't know. So now I'm asking all kinds of questions. I'm like, does it creep you out that there's men physically jerking off to your body?
Well, his
like,
brothers.
Like, to you. They're identical
well,
twins.
Wait, wait. Is the penises identical?
I asked that question, too, and the answer is yes. Because, of course, I'm like, what's your brother's name? We're in the back seat. And I'm looking at Jen, and I'm pointing my phone. I'm Googling it. Now I've got his entire profile up, I'll send you. I'm not going to share his name. But so it goes on to say, like, his favorite hobbies, his favorite this, his size. And so I'm like, I'm zooming in. I'm looking, and I'm like, so you guys are fully identical? And he's driving. He has no idea what I'm doing in the back seat. And he was like, yeah, 100% identical. We're identical twins. So now I'm zooming into his dick and showing it to Jen. And I'm like, 7 inches? That's not so bad. He's only 5'7". I mean, that's not – that dick looks huge on his tiny right? body. So then he told us all kinds of things. Like,
Wait. Did you ask him how he knew they were identical? Did they, as kids, did they, like, flop it out and, like, look at each other's dicks as kids?
Not just that, but DNA for identical twins are exactly the same.
Okay.
So they are DNA tested exactly the same.
So they have, like, warts and moles all in the same places.
Everything's identical, yeah.
That's fucking weird.
So, yeah, so he said, because I asked, well, I was like, you know, that's pretty cool that you guys are cool with it. And he said the way he found out, because I was also concerned, they're identical. What if a gay man walks up to him and thinks he is his gay porn star brother? Right. So then he said he was at a concert and some guy walked up to him and asked him if he knew so-and-so. And he was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And he was like, no, I know you from somewhere, man. I know you from somewhere. And then he said this other name and the light bulb went off in his head. And that's his brother's porn star name.
Oh, so he knew his brother was a porn star, just not a gay porn.
Well, he knew he was a gay porn star too at that point. So that he was like, there was this one time where this guy recognized me. He said the way that he found out, though, is that somebody else had seen the porn.
Right.
And said something to him about his brother being gay. And he was like, no, man, my brother's not gay. And they were like, no, I'm pretty sure him and his friend are gay. And they've done some stuff together and sent him the video. Uh-huh. And he said he, like, tried to play it off like, oh, yeah, I've seen this already. And he knew. And then when his brother came back into town, they talked about it. And his brother told him that when he had gone out to Vegas, he wasn't able to get a job right away. And so for a few hundred bucks, for a few thousand dollars, somebody will pay you to jerk off in front of the camera. Someone will pay you
to suck a dick.
To do
so. Right. Wait, now I have an even better question. Okay.
I can't tell you how much
oh
fun
my God.
This was for me. After being stuck in
I'm
quarantine
so
for 70 days, I know. I almost feel like I owe the man an apology because I asked so many questions.
No, he deserved it for telling you that.
I know. So what's your question?
Okay. So was the porn not just like self jerking off or blowjobs? Like, was it like full on butt sex porn?
Butt sex.
Oh my gosh.
Also, because I Googled it, uh-huh. I know a whole lot more about gay butt sex than I did before.
Okay, like what?
Well, I always assume that they had gay sex the same way I have gay sex, and that's doggy style. To me, that's gay. Like, that's how gay men have sex, right? One in the butt, one's not in the butt, and that's the only option.
No.
However, they're doing. So I'm looking at it, and I'm telling Nate when I get home, I was like, do you realize that they have sex the way we do? And he's like, what are you talking about?
You didn't know that.
No, they do all kinds of positions. Yeah. I said, what I just did in the shower, I'm pretty sure I saw in the car on the way there. I might have somehow gotten that in my fucking brain.
Oh my gosh.
Because they're like riding each other. Mm-hmm. Nate grabbed my butt at one point. I was like, don't do that. Gay sex. Gay sex. That was in there. That was in there. I was like, I was just a little surprised, but I couldn't help but, like, I'm like, okay, let's see. What else is in here? What else is in here? So they have, it was different. It was, I don't know. So he, what was your original question? I got a little distracted on the sexual position.
That was it. It was a full on butt sex.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So yeah, full on. So he goes on to say, because then we ask, like, well, would you do it? Like, what's your number to do it? And he said, well, I know for sure what's not my number, because when I went to visit my brother, his boss took us out to dinner and offered him $10,000 to simply sit adjacent to his brother and have both twins
jerk off.
And he said no.
Okay.
That's so I was like, listen, I got $16,000 in my savings account. What kind of gay shit will that buy me? And he was like, well, I'll have sex with anybody for 60. I was like, no, no, no. This is for my entertainment, right? Not satisfaction. I'm talking about gay sex. How much gay sex will $16,000 buy me?
Okay, that is the title of this episode. How much will $16,000 buy you of gay sex?
Right?
Oh, my gosh.
The answer for this gentleman was nothing.
Yeah.
I was looking at it as an investment. Maybe I could invest and record it for my own amusement and then sell it and make money from it.
I think that's what the boss was trying to do.
Right. Right. So he did say, so he's not gay, but then he said, now that he's older and some time has passed, that the other person that was in the video that went by the name Austin, it's not his real name, it's just a porn name, that now that he can sit back and remember, kind of like what you were talking about, stories of his friend Austin.
Right.
That he looks back and says, well, that sounds more like a relationship and not a friend.
Right. So is he thinking that his brother is gay?
Was, yeah. Is gay, what it is, bisexual maybe.
Okay.
And just maybe in his hometown goes as not gay, but he is. And his question to me really is, well, how many dicks can you suck until you're not gay anymore? I mean, you know, until you're gay.
Like, oh, until you're gay.
Yeah. So like, let me ask that question to you. Do you think, can a straight man do gay porn without being gay?
I guess technically he could, but because it's a man, it feels so wrong. Like, if you're going to have...
It feels so gay,
it
right?
It does. It's like, it okay, does. You're sucking, you're a guy and you're sucking a dick. That means you're gay, or at least you're bisexual. That's a, you know... But if a girl's doing it...
Right, it's just a business venture, right, or a business arrangement. So,
like, as if a straight girl eats a twat, she's just having fun. It's not serious.
Right. Yeah. So he also said that the boss was like, you know, we've researched what we can offer you legally that you can do with your brother. So I guess it's different. So... Thankfully for this straight man.
You know, and I'm sure he wasn't kidding, because I'm sure there is some incest laws.
Well, there is, which I never even thought about. So two gay porn stars can't have sex together.
That are related.
Right. But they, the guys that we were at the beach with, said that there's two female porn stars that are twin sisters that do porn together all the time and go down on each other all the time. So it's not illegal for two female biologicals, but the boss was saying that it's illegal for the two men to do it.
That's some bullshit.
That is some bullshit, right? I mean,
I'm sorry.
I don't. Sex is sex.
If they can eat the twats, then I better see them suck the dicks.
I know. So that's where we've left it with that.
Wow.
Apparently, porn stars aren't really good at saving their money.
No.
So he still kind of struggles a little bit. And everybody back in his hometown thinks he's super rich because he's always taking selfies in these really nice houses.
Right.
But those are just houses that they're going to pound town in.
Have you ever been to it? Those houses are also empty.
Oh, are they?
Most of the time, those are houses, like really rich houses that are on the market.
People are just using and then fucking and then...
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, because they're
all... Have you ever noticed the echoes?
Yeah, and that's what I was telling them too, is that they're all white. Like, it looks like it's all been staged. There's no family pictures. There's no... You only have two choices in porn. It's a super nice all-white mansion.
Right.
Or by a pool. Or it's somebody's crack house spare bedroom. Yeah. Where the lighting's really bad, and it's like this. It's like me having sex this way, in this right. shadow versus this shadow.
Right, and it's also, or the crappy hotel.
Yeah, yeah, with the brown sheets or maroon sheets.
Oh, yeah.
Comforter. Yeah, so when I got home, we played a little bocce ball on the beach, okay. which I didn't do the last time we went to the beach, so I knew my husband was going to give me some shit about that.
Uh-oh.
We went and had dinner on the beach.
You were on a double date.
So then, this is some shit though. The four of us go to dinner.
Uh huh.
Here comes the bill.
Oh no.
How do you think it was split up?
Was it split up two and two?
First of all, our homegirl's date said four separate checks. So when he said that,
nope.
I said,
done.
Right.
Done.
I said,
you're done.
I got her.
Yeah.
Put hers on mine. And so then the other guy paid for our friend's friend. So I paid for Jen and then he paid for Jen's dude. So that's something else. So what do you think about that? Do you think that... Mm-mm. Men should always, for me paying for Jen was more about me putting my dick on the table. Like, dude, you should have paid for her, but I got her.
Yeah, that's exactly what that was. Fucking, right. No, I am sorry, when you are in the dating phase and you invite a girl out to the beach, you fucking pay.
Right.
Sorry, and if you don't, that's it. Done. Out the door, forget it, I'll pay it, and I'll never fucking speak to you again because you don't have any class. You don't have any respect, and I ain't got time for that bullshit.
Do you think it's a younger generation thing? He's a little bit younger than all of us. And you think with all these PayPal apps and Venmo apps and Cash apps and all of this, all these young people, they just pay the bill and then they send their 50%, right? Their percentage to one another. You can see it on the Venmo app, for example. You can see people paying for their halves of dinner. I spoke to this other guy that I worked with who dates, and he says that they go 50-50 a lot.
No, I don't think it's a younger age thing. I think it's a douchebag thing because mm-hmm. when I was younger, guys tried pulling that bullshit on me, and I'm like, oh, okay. And, you know, at dinner, I'm like, yeah, it's no big deal. And then I'm like, I don't talk to you anymore.
Right.
No, because it's respect. It's the same mm-hmm. way as you pick up. Look, you want to date a girl, you pick her up, unless she said, meet me somewhere, right? But at least you offer. Mm-hmm. You open the fucking doors, and you pay the tab. Sorry. And if the girl's letting you get away with it, then shame on her, because that's bullshit.
Right.
No.
No, I agree. I think that a man should pay. And when they don't, I am quick to, because Jen and I had talked about this before on being on dates. And mm-hmm. she said that she had gone on a date and the guy had said something like she had eaten, but he hadn't. So he was like, oh, no, it's separate. And I was like, you know what? In those moments, that's the best time for me to be like, actually, I got his too.
Right.
Like, let's have a dick measuring contest here. Let me do what you should have done.
Right. And then never speak to them again.
Right.
Right. Yeah. No, so that's the big key. Don't ever go back out with guys or girls who are like that. Sorry. Mm-hmm. That's just fucking wrong.
Just move right on.
Just move on, because it ain't going to be nothing but a headache and a heartbreak, and you're going to be crying later, and you're still not going to have your money.
Well, thankfully, my date paid for his friend, so my date's still a keeper at this point.
Yes.
So let me go finish this story. Okay. So I'm texting Nate, and I'm saying, hey, we're on our way home. Nate called me a couple times. He called me when he got home and said, oh, hey, you're not home, or you went to the beach? And I was like, yeah, I'm out on the beach. I'll be back such and such. And he was like, okay, cool. He called me one other time. Oh, yeah, yeah. I never mentioned who I was with. He knew I was with Jen.
Right.
I just never, because I didn't even think about it.
Right.
And also because Ethan had seen them, I also just quickly assumed that Ethan would have said, yeah, mama got picked up by, because Ethan made it a point to say something to me about who this person was, right?
Who are these two fucking guys going to take my mom out?
Right. So I'm on my way home and I'm texting Nate and I'm like, hey, we're pulling into the neighborhood. Come outside and meet them. Because I knew that at least that part of my mind is that he already knows that I'm out with two men, that I'm going to make sure that he meets these two men,
mm-hmm.
so that he's well aware that nothing's going on. So he comes out of the garage, kind of like,
what the?
You know how a dog tilts their head? Like,
yes.
Oh, okay. Just kind of give them like a what's up.
Uh-huh.
Ask me how I'm doing, grabs my chair, waves, and then lets them drive off. And he looked at me and he was like, I wasn't aware you were on a double date. And that's what I was like, what? And he said, you just went off with two men, like, on a double date? And he was like, that was really fucking cute.
Was he?
And I was like, well, he wasn't, but he was giving me the business a little bit.
Right?
He wasn't mad. Like, Nate doesn't get super mad like that, but he was like tossing the hockey stick around and just making these comments. And I was like, I didn't even think about it.
Right.
I said, I assumed Ethan would have told you. And the first things out of my mouth were, I'm sorry.
Right.
Like, I didn't think about it. But now I guess I did go on a double date.
Oh, my gosh. See, when you were first telling me the story, I was thinking you and Nate went on a double date. So it's like, how the fuck do you accidentally go on a double date? No, apparently you yourself went on a double date.
Right.
You're married for 16 years, but you're double dating a man who's got an identical twin gay porn star.
Porn star, I know.
Well, now
that was the other thing too,
you've seen the dicks.
I know.
So you've technically seen your double date's dick.
His dick, yeah. And so this is the thing. Like, I was so excited about the porn star thing that when I got home and then realized that maybe I had done something that I shouldn't have. What I really just should have done is message Nate and told him where I was going and who I was going with. And I just honestly didn't think about it. But I wanted to talk so much about this person because of the gay porn star brother. But then now I'm like, oh, shit. Well, if I talk too much about him, now I'm really going to get in trouble.
Right.
But I have to tell him about the gay porn star brother.
So what did you do? Did you tell him?
Of course I did. I had to tell him everything. First I had sex with him, and then I told him afterwards.
There you go. Because now he can't be mad at you because you had sex.
Right. Exactly. You got to lift him up. Yeah.
Marriage tip 101.
Right. Sex first, then you tell him. Get him distracted, ladies.
Exactly. Or tell him while you're naked. He won't care.
Right. Right. Well, that's the thing. I think after having sex, and I still was naked in a towel, then trying to show him images from Google of gay porn stars was quite a turn on for him, but whatever.
It was a turn on?
No, I'm kidding, of
course. Oh my God, I was going to say Sabrina.
Yeah, I'm kidding, of course. So, yeah, I told him all about it.
Well, a good thing you did have sex first, because there was no way he was going to have sex with you afterwards, that.
Right, and then he ended up having a cheating dream.
What? Was that like his payback for you going on a double date?
Yes, because his dream was about him having a side chick.
Uh-huh.
That he said was an undercover big girl. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. And he said that in his dream, she had this bodysuit on that had cranks that could crank it really, really tight. So you looked really skinny. And he said that he had gotten to the part where they were taking off their clothes. And he saw this like scuba bodysuit underneath and then realized she was a big girl. But let's be honest, Nate loves big girls. He married one.
Right.
So I was like, oh.
So
now you're cheating on me with a big girl because I'm skinny and you really like them big?
Or maybe he's cheating on you with a different version of yourself.
Right, the old version of myself. And then he said he said the way that I caught him is he had a fucking Snapchat streak with her.
Really?
Which annoys the fuck out of me because anybody that knows my husband knows that he doesn't do Snapchat.
No.
But he liked this girl so much, he had a Snapchat filter or streak with her. I said, who's the cheater now, mister?
Yeah.
So, well. Those are my current events, people.
Wow. You know, that fucking is the icing on the cake.
Yeah, right? So, we'll jump from that because of course I can't wait to tell everybody about this gay porn star. It reminded me of the article that I sent you about gossiping.
Oh, most definitely. I might have to switch my argument a little bit now. Thank you very much.
Right. So I read an article, or I saw it on Twitter, that says that gossiping can help cure some of the depression blues,
right,
from corona being self-quarantined, and that gossiping is actually good for humans,
mm-hmm,
and good for us emotionally and mentally. And I'm a huge gossiper, obviously. We wouldn't have a podcast if I didn't love gossip.
Right.
My nickname is, and if you're Filipino or Spanish, is Chismosa, which is a gossiper, talks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about a gossiper in the article?
So I liked some parts of it. I do agree that it is helpful, and like the communication and the bonding,
mm-hmm,
especially after what I just listened to. I mean, because if after that you didn't get rid of your corona blues after that story, nothing will fucking make you happy.
Yeah, right.
So it tells us to bond, and it encourages good behavior. Obviously, especially now, I bet you're not going out on another double date anytime soon.
Right. So that's what it says. Researchers who study gossip have found that it helps bond, increase cooperation, encourages good behavior, and self-reflection.
Right. So my question is, because one of their biggest points was basically fact-telling. So, like, in your story, you were telling me things that had happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
But is that really gossiping, or is that just fact-telling?
So, that's where I struggle a little bit, right? Because I 100% am a gossiper. I've always... This article speaks about gossiping from a good point of view,
mm-hmm,
where I've always taken the fact that I'm a gossiper as a bad quality.
Right.
Right? Because people that look at people that are chismosa and gossip and talk, there's a trust issue there, right? Like, can I tell you things that you're not going to repeat to somebody else?
Exactly.
Where I agree when it comes to facts, like if you said to me, like, well, how's Jen? I would give you the download.
Right.
Up to a certain point. There's stuff that I'm never going to share and things that I know that I won't share.
Right.
But I'll share everything
else
because I feel like I'm just
talking,
sharing facts. Right.
So, and I don't feel like that's gossiping. I feel like gossiping would be saying, Jen told you something in confidence and you, mm-hmm, turned around and told me because it was a secret.
Right.
That's sharing. And to me, that's rumors and that's betraying the trust. So that's where I have a little hard time with the article, is because they're using the word gossip, but is it really, it doesn't really sound like gossip. It just sounds like communication.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it said that, that humans use gossip because it, for a long time, it was the only way that we actually got information, right?
Right.
We didn't have Google or phones. And so we had to hear from our neighbors or the town next door of what they're experiencing. So then we would share these facts.
Right.
Do you feel like you can trust a gossiper if it's just fact-telling?
So I think that, yeah, if it's just fact-telling, but it depends on the particular facts. So if someone tells me something that I know they're not supposed to be telling me, no, mm-hmm. I don't trust them.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who does a lot of, someone who tells people things that shouldn't be being told or does a lot of it, it makes you want to question whether or not you should reveal any of your personal information because then they're going to spread it out.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you think that there's a difference between gossiping for the pleasure of gossip and then gossip with bad intent or
yes.
malicious gossip?
Like Real Housewives, they gossip for malicious intent, I would think.
Well, I think they do both, right? There's sometimes where it's just a download of events. Like, hey, I had lunch with so-and-so. Let me tell you about that lunch. And let me tell you the things that she said that she might have gone through.
Right.
So that's more of like what I would say a download. You can read it, facts in a newspaper. And then there's some gossiping that is done to stir trouble, right? And to maybe release facts that you know that the person receiving that gossip will have a reaction to.
Correct. Or spread it to other people.
Right. But if it's just facts, is it not okay then just to repeat it?
So I understand that part. And here's something that I wanted to talk about. So in the example, the article said someone fell and broke their tooth and they were talking about gossiping as far as should be something like between a partner and sharing the confident information, not to like spread online. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, if someone fell, broke their tooth and you witnessed and you told one person and then that person told another and that person told another and that person told another and yada, 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 your entire close circle is now going to know that one particular person fell, broke their tooth and is probably going to be completely embarrassed by it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another perspective of, is that gossiping or is that fact finding? And because they said that gossiping can be good or bad, and it's not meant to harm anybody, but by gossiping that small little fact, it could have ended up harming that person.
Right. It makes it really hard because since it is, and we've talked about this a lot the last few weeks, of perception and how mm-hmm. somebody is perceiving certain information. So I found myself in trouble between a group of friends of, you know, four girlfriends where I was the common denominator, right? I'm the one that most of them talk to the most.
Uh-huh.
And so when I would see them and they'd say, well, how's so-and-so? I'd be like, oh, well, she's going through the blah, 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 blah. They were all equal friends with one another that I never felt like I was saying anything that was in confidence, right? Like
right.
We were all in this major group chat that had talked about even worse things. And then even to say, so if you say so-and-so broke her tooth, so-and-so broke her tooth because she was drinking too much and fell, and I hope so-and-so can get her shit together. If you are willing, if you're the type of person that who would say that to so-and-so when she broke her tooth, right? Like, hey, you broke your tooth? Maybe you shouldn't drink and wear high, or you know, whatever it might be.
Right.
And then I say it to another friend. In my mind, I've always justified that because I'm willing to say it to so-and-so. I'm not talking behind your back. I'm just expressing it.
Right. But it is technically behind their back because they're not there. Even though you've said it to
right.
them because you witnessed it, they may not have wanted that to be spread to other people who weren't there to have witnessed it.
Right.
And
yeah,
it's a very fine line. And then there was this psychologist, you know, because like you said, this article was very much from the positive side of gossiping. But there was this psychologist who said negative opinions of others can strengthen new relationships more than positive ones. So even by that statement, gossip encourages us to talk about negative things about other people.
Oh, yeah. That makes me feel gross. The fact that they said negative gossip bonds you together more than
positive.
Positive. Yeah, that's gross.
So your newfound relationship is based off of deteriorating, which means then at that point, your new relationship will get crumbled by that other person or you deteriorating that relationship with someone else.
Right. If you think of it too, right, you have to be careful. So if we take so-and-so falling and I say to you, oh yeah, you know, so-and-so fell, or, and you know, that drunk bitch shouldn't wear what high heels and drink at the same time, and then just leave it at that. Just kidding around, just, you know, being the smart ass that I am, you then saying it back to so-and-so and going, oh yeah, I talked to Bree and she said, you busted your ass and chipped your tooth. Maybe you shouldn't drink so much. Right. You know, maybe you should double think your wardrobe before you're out drinking. Then I could see that somebody going, okay, well, that bitch is talking about me.
Exactly.
Rather than just stating a fact. Because
you could have said, oh my gosh, I was out and so-and-so fell and chipped their tooth. Oh, I felt really bad for her. Sorry. Da-da-da-da. None of the drunk. You took out the neg.
No, see, yeah, I'd be like, bitch, don't feel bad for her. Her drunk ass is stumbling out and busting her ass.
Right there in that prime example, it is the bitch drunk ass, the negative part of that comment that makes it more exciting, which is going to make it spread like wildfire.
Right. I think you also need to know, if you're somebody like me that talks a lot, you need to know your audience and who you're speaking to. You need to know the way that you process information and the way that you share information and who you're sharing it to. Because if I said that to you and you said it to so-and-so, when so-and-so got upset with it, you would be like, oh, no, she didn't mean it like that.
Right.
Right? And be like, she was just kidding. She was just telling me. We both had a laugh. No big deal. The difference in the trouble that I found myself into a couple years ago is when it was said to somebody, there was intent. There was this infection going around, and there was this infection to get me out. And it was, oh, okay, that's what she said because she's talking about all of us. And so where it was no big deal. I think you have to be careful of who you're saying it to.
Yeah.
Because they can twist your intent around. So,
and also, if you remember, we talked about this about one of the Real Housewives episodes where this girl was lying about this other person, but how do you defend yourself to this person who's lying? And that falls in the gossiping category. So if someone's gossiping or spreading rumors, you can't defend your reputation based off of this.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
So because the article, it said the desire to maintain your reputation promotes cooperation and deteriorates people from doing things that are bad. And I said in my mind, I'm going, well, this sounds more like a way to control someone. If you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to tell people this particular thing about you or make shit up. And then you're going to be the bad person, and I'm still going to get what I want. Mm-hmm. So it's almost a manipulative tool.
Right, yeah. Yeah, gossip runs a very fine line, right? And I think it truly is intent. If there is malice behind it, then it makes it more of a backbiting thing, and you are speaking behind somebody's back. And you have an intent behind you, where I think that just downloading facts is just somebody who just talks too fucking much.
And that's okay. So, like, the story you told me, was facts. There was nothing outside of it that it was exactly what had just happened. I wouldn't consider that gossip, you know, because it happened.
Right. Have you ever had somebody share gossip about you that came back to you?
I'm sure I have. I can't recall, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever have. I think that I've always said everything first because I'm going to get to the punchline before everybody else does. I'm going to, there was a time like I had, and this is such a terrible, it's an extreme example, but it's the truth. And it's something that stuck out in my mind. I was 20 years old and I had an abortion, right? Nobody knew at all. Nobody, just my future ex-husband at the time. But at one point, I told my oldest sister, just in confidence, maybe years later, I don't even know why I decided to share with her, but I just did. And then years after that, no, it took her a few months to show her fucking evil side. And she told everybody. She told my whole fucking family, which by then it didn't matter to me. It had been like almost 10 years since I had it done, but that was a big moment for me. Like, all right, don't ever share anything you don't want repeated. If somebody's going to use these words to hurt you, you get it out there first. And you own what you've done and you've owned your actions.
Yes.
And nobody can use the gossip against you. To attack you.
I agree with that 100%. So.
You know, I think people that really, 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 really hate gossipers might have a lot to hide.
I don't know. So I'm not a big gossiper, right? I don't think you'd consider me a big gossiper. But I think I'm also unique because of the way it was brought up. Like we just mentioned earlier, I don't share a lot. I've learned to be very quiet out of protection. So a lot of people tell me things, but I don't tell things back. Even if it's not in confidence, if I'm like, I don't think I should be telling you something, I'm like, nope. Mm-hmm. I just, even if it's facts.
Right. Right. I was going to ask you, since you don't reciprocate on the gossip, do you enjoy receiving it, though? Because you and I have been friends for how many years now? And I'm a storyteller. I'm going to tell a story about something that happened to me this week. Do you enjoy being in the receiver of gossip?
Absolutely. I love receiving it, but 90% of the time, because I'm not perfect, right? But it stops there. I don't tell anybody. I'm like, nope, that's it. Even if it's small things. And if I think I'm going to say something that someone has repeated to me in a conversation, I try to make sure that person already knows about it beforehand, with subtle hints or whatever, just to see where they are. And if they have like no fucking clue, I'm like, nope, I'm not talking about this, and change the subject.
Right. Yeah. I think too that I get uncomfortable if somebody starts gossiping to me and you can tell that the intent is bad, I'll be the first one to say like, I don't like talking behind somebody's back. Like I don't want to do that. Like, are the things you're saying to me, are these the same things that you would say to her?
And if they're not,
because if so, we can talk this out together. I'd be happy to brainstorm with you. But if you're not willing to say it to your friend's face, if we've moved beyond facts at this point, then don't say it to me.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Oh, well, I wonder if anybody else is enjoying gossip or if they've gotten to the point where they could actually gossip with somebody. Because I've got my nails done, my hair done, and I just had a facial. And I have talked the shit out of these people. I'm so excited to see them all that I've told them everything that's happened to me in the last 70 days.
And I believe your story probably tops everybody's.
I haven't got to tell that one yet. I didn't have enough time with the facial to tell the gay porn star double date. And I didn't know that lady very well. But my nail tech will definitely hear about it.
So the one other thing I thought was crazy in this article, they were kind of insulting a little bit. So So they wrote Elizabeth, not Elizabeth, Eleanor Roosevelt quoted, "Great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, and small minds discuss people." And then the article says, yeah, we're basically, most of us are often small minds. And I'm like, are you calling me a small mind? No.
Well, I think, yeah, so there were a few quotes in there that people quoted people that, negative quotes about gossiping. Right. And the Eleanor Roosevelt quote is very good, right? Like, we say it again. What were the first two?
Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. It's kind of like, so Rachel Hollis says it, mind your own business. What other people say about you is none of your own business. Focus on you, on your path, and what you're doing in order to succeed. But people mm-hmm. who spend all their time talking gossip or about other people tend not to move in the direction that they want to go.
Yeah, I guess I could agree with that if those people that are gossiping are living in the gossip and not just stating events and moving forward, right? If they're obsessed with the things that they're gossiping about.
Uh-huh.
And you do find people like that are obsessed with one person and all they do is gossip about them. And the truth is that they really want that person's life.
Right. They're
most
jealous.
Of the time. Right. Again, I think that comes with intent. I definitely know people who say things a certain way to cause a reaction.
Yeah.
And then will throw the bomb and lift their hands up and say, I was just stating facts.
Right. Or just kidding.
Yeah. Right. Right. So I don't know. I'm a gossiper, but I've always worried that people will be worried about sharing things with me
mm-hmm.
because I do gossip so much.
Right.
I can't change it, people. It's 40 fucking years in the making.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. So what's next on our agenda?
All right. Let's do something light after okay. that. Let's do farming questions for Sabrina.
All right. So I came up with this because one of our listeners, Erica, was talking to me about the aquaponics
uh-huh.
and she said that she's been able to follow it because she's actually been to an aquaponics farm.
Okay.
And I had listened to that morning's episode and I heard myself space out at one point when you were talking and I'm to myself, I'm like, you little bitch, you better listen to everything. And I was like, Tabby better quiz me now. So that's why I messaged you and I said, I need a quiz on this aquaponics thing because we've talked about it
yep.
in segments for the last 8 weeks.
Yes.
Let's see what an asshole I am.
All right, Sabrina, first question.
And don't stop. Just let my explanations go through. Okay. Let me see if I can just mentally work it out.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
What is aquaponics?
It's a watering system and an ecosystem. See, now I'm confused if we're looking for the basic definition.
Yeah, the basic. I'll go with the basics. Guys, you have got to see her face. It is fucking hilarious.
I feel like if you would have asked me what an aquaponics garden is, I could explain this big giant system. But the actual definition of the word aquaponics reminds me of the a cappella group that sings Hallelujah. So water, aquaponics? Ponics?
Ponics. Aquaponics.
Water farm?
Close.
All right.
You're getting
it.
What
is it?
So aquaponics is farming. It's a water system using the fish poop.
Okay. Yeah, I got that. I know it's an ecosystem
yep.
of all of it. So it's a water farming system.
Yep. So
got it.
Why is the fish so important?
They're poop.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to use the water that is filled with poop to then fertilize your gardens.
Yay, you got it.
And is that question, is that water also going to water the garden, or is it only the purpose to fertilize the garden?
Water and fertilize, all in one.
All right, got it.
All right. Okay, so we're off of aquaponics for a minute. Okay.
Okay.
Can you drink worm tea?
No. Yeah. Wait. Worm tea is not real tea. It's... Fuck, you know what? I knew you were going to ask me about worm tea, and I actually knew what it was the other day. And now I've forgotten. I'm going to go with no.
No.
I don't know.
No. You can't drink worm tea. No. Okay, what is worm tea made of?
See, I knew this the other day, too, when I thought of this fucking game.
You should have wrote down your answers.
I know. Wait, hold on. Let me think, because it's going all over the field to help grow the grass. Mm-hmm. I know that.
Okay.
But does it really have worms in it? I don't think it does have worms in it. But I did remember talking about the big giant worm from Naked and Afraid then.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% that it has worms in it. I know it doesn't have tea in it.
Right.
But I'm not sure about the... There's no worms involved, are there?
This is so funny.
I know.
Oh, no. There are no worms involved.
What made the tea again?
Worm castings, which is worm poop.
Poop.
Water. And molasses. And then you have to aerate it.
And then you pour it on the grass.
Right.
And it will grow.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Worm poop. I knew there was poop involved because then I talked about this giant worm I saw.
Yes. Okay, so why is worm tea so important to our soil?
Your soil has sand
mm-hmm.
in it. But I think that had more to do with the sand part had more to do with the charcoal.
Mm-mm.
Which Erica, no?
Nope.
Okay, I was going to say, Erica just told me that wasn't real charcoal either. That was like wood burnings or something. In my mind, I had imagined the grill charcoal.
Yeah, no.
Not the same. Nutrients?
Yeah, but there's a certain word I'm looking for. It's a, like a scientific word.
Fuck that. I don't know. What does it rhyme with?
So it's the microbes.
The microbes.
I told you about the little tiny organisms that are in the worm tea go mm-hmm. into the soil and put the nitrogen back into the soil to help it grow and be healthy.
The nitrogen, that's the part that I missed because I do know that that's important in a good soil foundation. I do know. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Nitrogen.
What happens when you burn organic matter?
What? And we definitely did fucking talk about
yes,
that.
We did. Okay. All right. Let me simple it for you a little more. What happens when you burn trees, like a log or a fire? What happens?
So are we heading towards the charcoal
yes.
portion? Because I think, and I learned this from Erica, is that the ashes from the trees and things like that is the charcoal that you were making that you're going to put back into the soil because it's sandy.
Yes.
In where you're living, right?
Correct.
But when you mentioned charcoal the other day, I literally thought about the black charcoal coals.
It's biochar.
Biochar, okay. So yeah. That's coming from trees and bushes?
Yeah, it comes from any organic matter. So,
okay.
You know all the, so trees and stuff, your brush that you need to burn
yeah.
down, you burn them down, but you don't let it get to ash level. When it's
okay.
done, it looks like charcoal, has that glassy sound like charcoal, but once it turns to ash, it's no good.
Right, so it's those black logs that
yep.
are left in your fire pit afterwards.
Correct.
Got it.
Correct.
The black logs.
Right, so how does biochar help the soil?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I just know it does.
Okay. So
is it bringing in, what was that fucking word? I just meant to write it down.
Micro.
Nitrogen?
Yeah.
Is it bringing in nitrogen?
No.
Is that a word, nitrogen?
It is a word.
Okay.
It's even a scientific word.
I know. I don't know what it does.
So the biocharts. Remember that day I told you you could take a 1-inch by 1-inch, and if you were to unfold it microscopically, it would cover the size of a football field.
Yeah.
Biochar is very porous, which means it can retain a lot of water. So, like my yard that's very sandy, it doesn't retain water. You put it in the ground and it holds moisture to help the plants in the dry climate.
Got it. That makes sense to me now. All right. Got it.
Okay, are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah. The bigger your smile, the dumber my answer is going to be. I just know it.
Pretty much. List.
That's funny. I just hit myself and something fell from my body. I don't know what it was, though.
Well, I hope you can put it back on.
I know. Whatever it was, it sounded like it rolled away.
Oh, my gosh. What the hell rolled off your body?
I don't know.
Did you lose a tit? Right.
Maybe. All right. Go ahead. What's next?
List the plants we are growing.
Lettuce.
Uh-huh.
Tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
Potatoes.
Nope.
Nope. Cucumbers.
Yep.
Fish.
Nope.
What else do people grow? Squash.
Nope. You're just guessing.
I am. Just trying to guess at what people... Peppers.
Yep.
Jalapenos? That's all the same thing.
Nope.
All right. What are you growing?
So what we have in the garden is the tomatoes, the peppers, we do have lettuce, and we have carrots going. Yep. And that's all we got going so far. What we're going to add to it later is more lettuce. We've got cantaloupe, watermelon. We have cucumbers. We have pickling cucumbers. We've got a lot. All kinds.
Nice.
Of, yeah.
Is there a reason behind what you're choosing?
Just what's the seeds that are available. And, we're also doing peas and green beans.
Ooh, I knew about the peas because I saw a picture of that. You sent me a picture of that.
Yes. So, twofold. We want stuff that we're going to be able to eat and enjoy, and then other stuff that's easily to can.
Okay. Got it.
So, why do we want to grow our own food?
Well, I think it's two. You want to grow it so you will start eating more vegetables that are organic and have a self-producing farm, since that's where you guys live, mm-hmm. both on the meat side and the vegetable side.
Yep.
And then in my mind, I really do believe that you're going to have fruit stands somewhere on the side of the road in DeLand. Whether it is a virtual fruit stand or a real life fruit stand, a fruit stand in overalls and a straw thing out of your mouth is definitely happening at some point.
Well, damn you. You just literally answered my last question. What is the long-term goal of Dabby P Farms?
Nice.
And it will be a virtual stand.
Nice. See?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's what your logo should be. It is a fruit stand or a farm stand with you in overalls and a straw thing coming out of your mouth.
I like it.
Yeah, like a cute little anime of you. I think that's adorable.
Yay.
So I think I got a 40%.
I'll give you 50.
Nice. I'll take it. I'll take it.
There you go. So our newest project, because Dion had a dream. I know. He never has dreams. So he has his dream, and he goes in his dream. So a little bit of backstory. We need to build chicken coops, and we got to build pig pens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is building pig pens are expensive, and so are chicken coops. Well, Dion came up with this brilliant idea in a dream. We watch Homestead Rescue a lot of times, and they use things called shipping containers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what a shipping container is?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, people make pools and all kinds of stuff out of them.
So we were like, what the hell? We are now wanting to buy a 40-foot shipping container, cutting it out, making 6 different pens, 3 for pigs, 3 for chickens, have a back space in there to keep all the feed for safe, and then also digging it underground halfway so it'll insulate itself. you know, a 40-foot shipping yard or shipping container is only about $2,500.
That's it. I was going to ask you how much those are. Because people are making pools and shit out of them.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm like, that's it?
Yeah, that's pretty smart because the cost of wood can get up there.
Oh, it absolutely. Not to mention pigs destroy wood.
Right.
And it rots in the summer heat and all that stuff. So I was like, well, now that we've done that, I want to buy a second one because I have talked about wanting to grow produce that is not available during season. So like strawberries, right? Strawberries are pretty much only available right now. December comes, you can't find a strawberry to save your life. Except for Dabby P Farms. Because I'm gonna grow that shit inside.
Do you know what else they grow inside containers?
Anything you want.
Marijuana.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
It's in that movie, The Gentleman.
What?
The one with Matthew McConaughey that just came out this past fall. If anybody, we watched it while in quarantine. It's available for rent. If you guys haven't watched it yet, you should.
Uh-huh.
But that's what Matthew McConaughey is, this big time pot seller.
Right.
In Europe. And he is growing his marijuana, not in farms or out in warehouses, but in these shipping containers underneath the ground. So he's purchased all of these and put them underground.
Right. A lot of people use the shipping containers to create fallout shelters too.
Oh yeah, you guys could do that.
Probably. Now Dion's all on board. I'm sure he's going to want
that. You know. You're going to have a bunch of fucking shipping containers out there. People are going to think you're human trafficking.
Probably. Well, no. Because I also know you can paint them. And I'm going to get some kind of artist to come out and create cool-looking designs.
Oh, that's fun.
So it'll be pretty. It won't just be a fucking eyesore.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun.
Yeah.
Well, sweet. So how much longer until the aquaponics farm is producing even a single pea?
I don't know. So everything for the aquaponics hasn't gone in the system yet. Because we're still building it. You haven't seen pictures lately, but the thing is fucking massive. So the aquaponics that we're building, half of it will do 70 plants and then two towers for strawberries. And then we can put another 70 plants on the opposite side of the structure we just built. So when we're all said and done, I'll be able to grow 140 plants plus two strawberry towers plus two beds to grow food in as well. It's going to be an insane amount of food we've got coming.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. Well, I'll take 50% on that.
All right.
On that quiz. Did you know little Richard died?
Yeah, I saw that. I know you didn't know he was still alive.
That's what I said. I said, I thought he was dead. And then when I told Nate was like, I thought he was dead too. I didn't realize he was alive.
Yeah. I didn't know one way or the other.
Right. Yeah. 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 I think it's funny sometimes how people all of a sudden care when a celebrity dies, but did we really care to begin with?
No, that's kind of like the artist who becomes famous after they die, like a painting artist. I don't understand that.
No. Maybe one of your paint by numbers will become super famous when you die.
After I die, great. That's awesome.
Right, right.
I have to give up my life for that.
Right, right. What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Tyra Banks or the Virginia governor?
Oh, either one. You know, I've got lots of opinions today.
So I think Tyra Banks is pretty easy.
Okay.
Tyra Banks was, I think you shared the article with me, right?
Uh-huh.
I had heard about it on the Brilliant Idiots podcast and Flagrant 2, where a few years ago when Top Model was still on, she had publicly said to a contestant something about the gap in her teeth and that she needed to have it fixed,
mm-hmm.
and that the show paid to have her teeth fixed.
Yep.
And people had dug up this footage. And now Twitter and everybody else a few weeks ago was bashing Tyra Banks for her negative comments to a model contestant.
Yes. Let's mind you, this was 15 years ago.
Okay, so 15 years ago.
Not like 3 years ago. 15 years ago,
people. Right. What do you think about all that? So you sent me the article. Tell me your first thought and your intent behind sending that article.
So the intent was, I was like, oh. So I read it, and I liked the article, so I sent it back to you. And then, look, here's the deal. Here's how I feel about it. The modeling industry is a fucking ruthless industry. It's always has been, probably always will be. Everybody getting mad at Tyra Banks for something that happened 15 years ago, go eat a fucking dick. Because It's 15 fucking years ago. If you were so fucking pissed off about it, you should have said something 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get to ruin someone's career that you helped build because now it's offensive to say it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not only that, but Dani Evans, who is the contestant, had a choice. She didn't have to get her teeth fixed. Initially, she told the dentist she didn't want to. She told the producers no. And then Tyra said, you're on here to become a model. The choice is yours, but you're here to be a model. And that right there is not going to sell. And probably 15 years ago, it wouldn't sell. So Tyra Banks mm-hmm. was keeping it real.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So I think that when people release videos like that, you have to think about when it actually happened. So it was 15 years ago. And then why? She was a contestant on a modeling show. Getting your teeth fixed is the easiest thing she's going to hear. For the rest of her life, if she's going to be a model, she's going to hear to put down that hamburger, to put down that cracker, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too this, you're too blonde, you're too brunette, you're too white, you're too this, you're always going to be too something. And if you can't accept that in the model, she wasn't applying to be a businesswoman. She was applying to be a model based on her looks.
And she wanted a way out of Arkansas, which was a small town. And she felt her choice was modeling, was the way to get out.
Right. And I thought it was interesting, her response, because the article you sent me was then the contestant's response, which I hadn't read or heard before. But she was saying, so she was a poor black girl from Arkansas, and the truth of the matter is that her family didn't have the money to fix the gap in her teeth. And so she learned to love and embrace that gap because she had no choice. People made fun of it her whole life. And just kind of like me, right? I'm going to say or point out what's wrong with me before you get to it. And I'm going to learn to either love or not like it, but nobody's ever going to hurt my feelings because of that. And so she learned to accept something that she had to accept. She didn't want to accept it. If she had her choice, her dentist would have fixed it years ago. But financially, she didn't have that ability. So now, 15 years later, to say, well, I wish I didn't get that done, that's not true. In that moment, you really wanted that. You really wanted that to be fixed. You didn't have the money to fix it.
And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have it fixed. But it was still her choice. The show did not make her do it.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And I think that they need to give Tyra Banks some slack. And I'm glad that she didn't come on and do all these apologies. It did make me think, though, what's our limit? So if we're looking at videos from 15 years ago and saying, think of the time, think of the climate, think of where, why, who was involved, should we be more forgiving of some of the other things we've said when it comes to men talking about women when these tapes have been released? There was a Good Morning America anchor and somebody else caught talking in a trailer, and the guy lost his job, and he was talking shit about a woman, or not talking shit, but just about how he wanted to fuck her or something like that. That can we really in good conscience go back and start prosecuting these people, whether on a social aspect or legally, for things that they did 15 years ago? So if they're making comments about women, genders, gays, color, appearances, if that's what we did back then.
Right. No, you should not be allowed to ruin someone's career for something they said 15 years ago, when at that time it was not deemed unacceptable by society.
Yeah, so let's use these words as an example. The N-word obviously is out. It's never been accepted. If you've said that on a recording, you're going to be in trouble for it, no matter what. It's never been okay to say that, right? Right, but let's say the word retarded or faggot.
I hate that word.
Right? I know, but like 20 years ago, people would say like, oh, dude, you're being such a fag. Are you doing this? Or why are you... Or, God, you're so retarded, right? Like, I still find myself using the word retarded. If a video comes up with somebody from 20 years ago, do we then blast it and say hate crime, these hate words, calling such and such a fag, where, yeah, now it's a terrible word. Like, it's a I even thought twice before I said it out loud. Can we prosecute? And when I say prosecute, I mean socially bash them for something that they said 15, 20 years ago when we were all saying it.
You can't. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's hypocritical.
Grow the fuck up. Someone says, and here's the other thing. Look, someone says a word you don't like, tell them, A, you don't like them, and then if they keep saying it, don't associate with them. You know?
Right.
My key word is faggot. Can't, nope, nope, mm-hmm. won't. And I've had people say it, and I go, look, don't like that word. Don't use it around me. And they're like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
And someone said it one time to me and kind of argued with me, and it was in my house. I was like, look, this is my house. Don't use the word, or there's the door. You know, I stood my ground. But I'm not going to go socially bash this person because they used a word that I don't like. The same way with this model, Dani Evans. So, and she, I don't even think she pulled this up. Someone else, bored, pulled this up and is making a big fucking deal about it. But, you know, here's the other thing they're forgetting. The modeling industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. It is not just models. It's fashion designers. It's advertising companies. It's products. It's photographers, makeup companies, body care companies. If you've noticed in the last 5 to 10 years, Dove has changed its advertising strategies. They are now showing bigger women, more ethnic groups, and they're showing them more reveal just in the panties and the bras for Dove, right? Well, that comes from these advertising companies spend millions and millions of dollars researching what people want to see. If people want to see the skinny girl with no gap in her teeth, they're going to require that because they have millions and billions of dollars of product that needs to be sold. It's a business. You're a model, not a martyr.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think you said all of that perfectly. It is a business. She was on a show on a business, and nothing was done. I mean, nothing was done wrong in this
case. Not at all. No, not at all.
And even if it was, if they were to, I don't know if the show is still on, but say if it was, and they verbally, visually attack somebody again, you know what you're signing up for. You are a model. It's different if my customer looks at me and says, Sabrina, you should really shave down your two front teeth. Bitch, you ain't here to comment on my looks. You're here to buy this thing from me. That's none of your business. But if I'm there to sell them my looks and they say, look, we'd really probably buy from you if your two front teeth were shaved down a little bit, then that's something that I'd say, you know what? Thanks for that information. I'll take it into consideration.
And if you lose the contest based on that, that was your choice. I mean, in Next Top Model, I have also heard them say, you need to go on a diet, because they do.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, because well, they do.
By model standards. Right. Because here's the other part people don't. They're like, why are models always so skinny? Da, 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 right? it's not because of necessarily the selling appeal of it. It's because fashion designers don't make mock-up style clothes bigger than zeros and twos because it costs them much more money. So they need a really skinny person to walk down the aisle. And by the way, guys, this isn't just for women. This is for men. Men have, male models have the exact same stigma as female models do.
Right. No, I agree. I agree. Well, good. I think people should get off Tyra Banks's ass. And if anybody has any opinions to share with us, please let us know. If anybody was offended by my use of the word faggot too, I just said it again.
I'm offended.
I was just using it. Yeah, it's just using it as an example. The word feels dirty now, but I just remember back then people said it. They would say it all the time. Or I would say like, oh God, he's so gay. Or why are you being so gay? Where now it's like, oh, you can't say that. And now I don't even really know what that meant. Like everything was gay. That's so gay. Your shirt's gay. This is gay. That's gay. What the fuck does that even mean? I would go and say,
that's so gay in a bad way.
That's so gay in a bad way. What does that even... That's so gay. I'm going to say that to my sister the next time she says that's so gay in a bad way.
And you know the other thing? A faggot means a bundle of sticks, or in Europe, it's a packet of cigarettes.
I know. They use it all the time. And in that movie, The Gentleman, you know what else Englishmen say? A lot? Cunt. You would get along.
I would, wouldn't I?
Gaily over there. They use the C word all the time.
I have no problems with the C word. None.
I've actually talked to people about your use of the C word because our listeners notice that you use it all the time. So I thought maybe it was because you are a lesbian, you are bisexual, that maybe the word C word comes off of your mouth or your tongue easier. Right. You're a cuntilinguist. That maybe the word has been desensitized because I don't know, the same way like when I'm having sex with my husband, you talk about their CU or CU, COCK, right? Like, oh, do this with your big. I don't know. This is me just trying to rationalize. All right, well, Tabby's cool with that word, but there's certain words you don't like.
If you call me a bitch, we're going to fucking scrap. Like, that's. Faggot and bitch. Oh, you want to call me a cunt? Yeah, that's right. No big deal. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of
cunts.
Yeah.
I'll say it for you.
Let's talk about transvestites in the
You mean
in
transgenders?
Oh, well, the article said trans, so I was guessing transvestites.
I'm thinking more transgender. Did you?
Did I read it all the way?
Or did you just read the headlines?
A little bit of both. I thought they were saying.
Because it's about bathrooms. It's transgender.
But what's the definition of transgender? Fully.
So that's my biggest problem I have with this. So Virginia mandates all businesses allow transgender to use women's restrooms.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for clarifying what we're talking about.
So makes me very angry. There are no guidelines to what constitutes a transgender. A grown man, fully dressed as a male, could walk into a women's bathroom and claim, I'm a transgender.
So that's why I had the word trans written down on my notes, is because I'm unsure what the definition of trans is. Because is it transgender? Is it, and what's the full definition of transgender? Are we just talking about men that dress up as women? Is it because a tranny is just a man that dresses up as a woman, right? Can they, if they are dressed, then use the woman's bathroom?
Right. And that's my question. And then where is the line, right? Because I have met people who have said they are transgender, but they make no attempt to look feminine, right? I've seen people who dress as women in a very horrible way, right? Mm-hmm. that there's, it's just, it's bad. And then I have also had the experience where you wouldn't be able to tell that this woman was ever a man.
Right.
There are different levels. But legally, where is the line? If you're going to allow someone into different bathrooms, where is the line? Because if you allow just a regular straight man who claims to be a transgender but really isn't, and he's only a pervert going in there to play with little girls, is our government really allowing this?
Right. So I'll tell you what. So when all of this came, do you remember when all these bathroom stories came up years ago?
Yep.
One of my younger sisters and I got into such a fight, and an older sister, that it ended up this big thing on Facebook, and I didn't speak to one of them for years because, well, they didn't talk to me because they believe that they live in Virginia and they support this law.
Okay.
And so I have two concerns here. So, and I apologize. I did read this whole article. My concerns of it was being, one, the fact that they're changing a law based on Corona and somehow backdooring this in. Because it said that a lot of this was based on changing some of the guidelines of what was going on, or opening up, as they were opening up everything, they're also opening up the bathrooms to transgender individuals. So then it made me scared of the way that legislation and governments try to backdoor rules in when we're not paying attention.
Yep.
And that has been some of my concern about the coronavirus. We made all these big changes and there's been all these big bills, but we can't trust our government to backdoor some shit in there. And then also, what about these rules that we've created that they're going to undo or not do, or that they're going to undo and then push something in here that we were voting on before? And maybe, and I don't know if maybe Virginia didn't support it before and now they're back. I'm just concerned of the backdooring. Maybe not the right term when we're talking about transgender, but I'm worried about the backdoor situation. The second thing is again, what is the true definition of transgender? And I have a daughter that goes in, and this is where my argument with my sister came from. I have a daughter that goes into the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want, what is keeping a pedophile from putting on a fucking dress and going in there? And I can't tell him that he can't.
Right.
So it's not that I don't support the transgender community and their right to use our bathrooms or whatever bathrooms they want. I'm concerned about the little people and the people that are going to use this to get to our children. There's a reason why we have separate bathrooms.
Correct. And here's the other thing. I have such a problem with it. Women, even as adult women, we don't typically go to the bathroom alone unless we absolutely have to. We normally go in pairs. And there's a reason for that. Because it is a very vulnerable place for us to be. And there's no security from us being attacked. Even as grown women, we are not safe to go into the bathroom. And now our government is giving this leeway to allow men into our bathrooms.
Right. In a private room that sometimes you find yourself by yourself.
Yep.
With the ability to lock you into a stall.
Twice. He can lock you in the bathroom and he can lock you into a stall.
Yeah.
And there's no escape.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just not sure. So, and then there's this thing where I saw some people say, well, they should just make separate bathrooms for them.
And I don't agree with that either, because that's an
addition. It reminds me of segregation, right? It makes me feel like we're moving backwards. We this country did that with blacks and whites and using separate this and separate back. We don't want to go back.
No, we don't. And look, the way that I feel about it is, if you look to the appropriate bathroom that you're supposed to go into it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't look the appropriate place to go into, don't go into it.
You mean your physical looks?
Yes, your physical looks. If you look like you're supposed to be a woman, go in. I don't care if you have to stand over that toilet and pee, right? Go do your business, wash your hands, and go on about your business. You know, this isn't about denying transgenders the right to use a bathroom. This is to protect the loophole that it opens.
Right, yeah. I think that's the most important thing, is that it's not, our concern with it is not against the trans community at all, because I don't want to separate them out, and I don't want to say you can't. The problem is the bad people and the loophole. Like you said, there's, I don't know.
And, you know, here's the other side of it that we're not thinking about either. This also goes the other way. Women who trans into men. Mm-hmm. So now they have a right to be in the men's bathroom. Mm-hmm. So what happens is if they go in there and now they have to deal with assault, right? From in that perspective. Because
in what kind of assault? Being raped in the men's bathroom, or
being raped, being attacked when someone realizes he's not a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Because there are homophobic and xenophobic people out there, and then there's also, you know, it doesn't happen quite as often, but there are women perverts out there who like to play with little boys. You're opening up your 100%. Little boys. This isn't just about the girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's, you know, men and boys get molested all the time. It's not something that people even talk about because they don't think it's possible.
Right. But it is.
Yeah, for sure. I guess, I mean, there's no, I don't know. I what do you think if they try to do it here in Florida?
Look, if they pass a law on Florida... Look, I'm just keeping my gun on me.
Right.
Because if my little niece goes in the bathroom, male or female, and they're trying to attack her, I'm going to protect her.
Right.
You know, it's just crazy, though, that our laws would do this. But Virginia's also lost its mind up there, too. They're all in. Did you know, and I heard this.
We have a lot of Virginia listeners.
We do. And I love them all. But most of my family's up there. But my mother was telling me that Maryland they have a stay-at-home order. And if you're not going to or from work, to and from the grocery store or the doctor's office or the pharmacy, they're ticketing you, charging you $1,000, and putting you in jail.
That's insane.
That's illegal. That's against your constitution. The government has no right to imprison you for walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going on right up there outside our Capitol.
However, I mean, is that completely true if they've mandated, because every single law, especially in Florida, right? Every time our mayor made a new rule here, there was an amendment attached to it. So it was a law that... maybe you could fight that is unconstitutional.
Right.
But at that moment, they are legally arresting and ticketing, because if there is a law in connection to it and you are choosing to break a law.
But a stay-at-home order is not considered a law. A stay-at-home
order. No, in the state of Florida, every single order they made is attached to a statute that they've created a law for.
Really?
Yeah, every single time. Because I have clients that... we've had to keep track of which amendment allowed them to open, which amendment allowed them to close, which amendment allowed them to keep functioning. So we had to keep track of every single change they were making. Oh. They made all these laws, and now they have to undo them.
Right, because they weren't voted in by the people.
Right.
They weren't voted on. So it's technically not a law. If your governing body of people in that state did not vote for an amendment based on your state, it's not a law.
Mm-hmm.
So they shouldn't be able to allow to arrest you for that.
Right. I think that what the state of Texas did was probably the best, right? Because in the state of Texas, that hairdresser woman was arrested for keeping her business open.
Right.
And even though... the law was in place, the police had the right to to arrest her and put her in jail, the Supreme Court or whatever in Texas that took her out of jail said that, or released her from jail, took her out of jail. I sound like an idiot. Released her from jail, said that it wasn't constitutional, and really that the judges that made the order that it was okay to arrest people and fine people were just fucking insane. And the Supreme Court said, we're not going to penalize people for wanting to work.
Exactly. You can't, it is, see, that's the other thing. A governor of a state should not be able to make a mandate and attach an amendment to it, making it a temporary law that is unconstitutional, because their laws do not supersede our constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm. So in the heat of the moment in all of this, do you not think they should have made all these changes? And
I've got no problem with a stay-at-home order saying, hey, everybody, this is what we recommend for your safety, yada, yada, yada. But you cannot imprison someone for something that's unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
You got to think about, now they've got a record, they have probation, they have attorney fees, they have to go to court, and all the systems getting their money back, and they didn't do anything illegal.
And, well, they did do something illegal if there was a temporary law,
but,
right? They don't find things unconstitutional until the law's been tested, and the Supreme Court is normally what appeals a law or you know, a change that's been made to find it unconstitutional. It can't be your individual belief that, well, I have the fucking right to do everything. Yeah, we do live in that country where we have rights, but we also have laws. And whether it was a temporary law for our own safety or the safety of the community, if you chose to ignore that in that moment, the penalties are there. And then it could be back, you know, it could be found to be unconstitutional, but who deems it unconstitutional? That's your interpretation of the Constitution, or that's his interpretation of the Constitution. A law was set.
I gotcha. But so like how you were talking about, you don't like how they're, the government's backdooring the transgender about the bathrooms through the corona. I don't like how they're backdooring an amendment to my personal freedoms. Exact same thing. It's not a law. The government did not say, this is what it's going to be, this is it, and I want the people to vote on it. And if they agree, then yeah, sure, that's not what they did. They said, I'm going to create a stay-at-home order. I'm going to mandate it. Now you have to follow it to fuck however you feel it's right, and you have no say over it when they have a right to vote on it. They were denied their right.
So do you think in a case of emergency that laws in our government shouldn't react?
I mean,
what if we were attacked and they made all these other rules of, well, you shouldn't leave your house, you shouldn't do that. Are we going to say, well, you shouldn't do that? You can't tell us when not to leave our house. I mean, I think in a case of an emergency, which this was, right? This is something we've never dealt with before, that we have to at least provide some forgiveness of like, look, we didn't know what to do. And they made some quick reactions. And maybe the next time this happens, the government won't react the same way. But you're saying that the government, or I shouldn't say you're saying, I want to ask if what you're saying is that they just have no rights to make changes quickly for what's in our best benefit.
It's complicated, you know, because I understand what you're saying, right? They have to make changes for what's best in the community. We weren't dealing, you know, this was a new thing, but people, even as their cases are going down, they were still arresting people. And I have a hard time with that, because walking down the street, could you imagine being arrested for walking down the street, Sabrina? That's what I'm getting. I mean, that's so infuriating for me, right? I understand the reasoning behind it and I get it. But at the same time, we're in a country that's not supposed to happen. That's like this freaking socialism and totalitarianism taking over. Mm-hmm. And it boils me. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think that there's a big difference between being a free country and being a wild and out country where we have laws and we're expected to follow them. And laws can change from day to day. And that sometimes in the case of emergencies, things happen. And for people to just walk down the street because they just want to walk down the street and this is a free fucking country. Well, you're right. You have the free right to walk down the country. However, you just broke a law and now you're going to jail.
Yeah.
That's also within the rules and the guidelines of what's happening at the moment. So I think it's scary. I think it's scary to see how quickly the laws
can change without the public being able to have a say over it.
Yeah, but there's no way to do that in the case of an emergency.
Understood.
We would still be voting, and the whole way to vote would have put us all back in danger because then we'd had to go to a fucking voting booth, and then we all would have gotten even more sick. So I think that I understand what you're saying because I agree. We don't want to give our government too much ability, but I don't like people that say, you can't arrest me because I have a right. If there's a rule, you lost that right. And you're just being an asshole now and enjoy your day in jail. You could have waited 30 days to walk down to wherever you were going. So if you're doing it just to be an asshole, you get what you get.
Even if they were just driving in the car, not talking to anybody, just driving to get out.
But why? Why? Like, if you're doing it for the safety of the people, this is the thing. When you start talking about, like, well, nobody can tell me what to do. Nobody. It sounds so fucking selfish, I think, for when everybody is on Facebook going, stop telling me what to fucking do. Give me a break. That's what children do. That's what, you know, we're talking about what's best for our country. And I do think that we need to be aware because our government will try to get away with shit. They do it all the time. We all vote on bills for one thing, and there's a bunch of little fucking things in there all the time. I'm not saying you blindly follow your government. I'm saying in the case of an emergency, in something we've never, ever experienced before, there's got to be some forgiveness and mistakes. Even like in Texas, where Texas did something and they put a woman in jail and they said, we fucked up. This wasn't right.
But I can at least get behind Texas because they said, we fucked up.
Right. And they said, we're not doing this. We're not fining people. We're not doing that. And if that's what Maryland has to do eventually, whether it comes retroactive or in the moment, Texas did it in the moment, then it will happen.
Or it won't.
And if not, then we all revolt, right? And I think that's part of the good thing about the way that this has happened is I've never seen so much power individually in states and cities as from this. And it's been so interesting and amazing to watch. This is why this country was built, was to be independent of our federal government. Yep. And we are. And so if in the state of Maryland or in the county that you're in, if you don't like that rule or whatever happened, you go out and vote next time and make a fucking difference. What you don't do is sit on Facebook and call people fucking idiots and say, well, I'm going to keep walking. No, go and vote.
Or move.
Make a difference. Yeah, exactly. Right. Because that's been the awesome thing about this, to watch every state and country
change.
Or county. Yeah, it's cool. That's what we were made for. That's what we fought
Correct.
For.
I agree with that 100%.
And I think that's what makes us so individually strong. And when we start downgrading our system that has worked and is so unique all around this world, there's nobody else that really has a government the way that we do, down to the county municipal system, we should be proud of the way this all worked out. Instead of everybody's so fucking negative all the time, just be proud of how this all worked out and make adjustments. Like you said, right? We don't like that all these quick law things. It makes us feel, as a constitution person, it makes you feel gross. Let's learn from it. How do we change it next
Absolutely.
Time?
Absolutely. Because I just learned that from you, that they attach amendment making it a law. And I'm going, you got to vote. I was like, wait a minute, you got to vote.
No,
You can't just say, oh, poof, and it's a law.
No, they were making all kinds of changes to the statutes and this and that and numbers and points, such and such, such and such. I mean, it's ridiculous.
That's crazy. They shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Right. But I think this is a learning process for us. And I think Americans should be proud of what we've gone through and where we're going. and we take a step back, just like from 9/11. We take a step back, see what worked, see what didn't,
and move I think forward. This has actually been really great because, like you said, a lot of people are getting their eyes open to their local government. Because a lot of people don't pay attention to their local government. It's always federal. Federal take care of everything. And nobody knows what to do with their local government. So now they're becoming more aware of their rights and responsibilities as a local representative.
100%. I have a major lady boner for Mayor Curry of Jacksonville. Up until then, I think I voted for him. I don't know. He hasn't been super impressive. I don't even know when he came into office. But what I will tell you is since March 7th or whatever it was, he's a mayor that will get my vote next time. He is working for what's the best of Jacksonville. He's listening to his people. The governor, I feel the same way about. There's some tweaking left and right, but overall, I think they're both doing a great job, and I'm proud to have voted for them. I think I did. I'm pretty sure I did. No, I did. So. All right. Well, I think that's cool. I think we're going to wrap it up. So, anything else we missed? I'm so sweaty now. You got me all worked up. Look at me. I got to shake my titties out.
Shake those boobies.
I know.
Because you're drinking Monsters and we're talking politics, girl.
I know. So here, let's say our goodbyes and wrap this up.
All right, sounds good. All right, guys, as always, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, give us a shout out at notasafespacepodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Have a great day, guys.
Bye.